to me. Right back.
Have you no shame? Is nothing sacred?
The one in the supermarket?
No, you never got...
Suture.
Suture.
Thank you, nurse.
You're welcome.
Apartments, Car World, and...
It's for you.
ABC presents Graham Kennedy's R.S. Playhouse. A deep and meaningful...
Various age...
Written by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. The work silently beckoning.
Going down?
Pardon?
Going down.
Oh,
Is the lift going down?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it's going down, but, well, no, actually it's stopped now because the doors are open and it's, not moving, but it will when you, finish getting in. Not that I'm inferring you're huge or anything, far from it, because, of course, you're not, so, no. I mean, yes. Sorry.
Good.
Which, where are you going?
Down.
Yes, of course, sorry. What, ground floor, lobby?
Lobby.
Right, allow me to press the L button for you. Oh, no need to press it, because I've already pressed it anyway. See, it's all lit up and everything. But I suppose I could always press it again. Do you think I should press it again?
Why not?
Why not indeed? Why not indeed? Very true. Very true. After all, it is free. No charge. Gratis.
Well, are you going to press it?
Right. Damn, missed. Oh, well, it seems we're going to have a brief stopover at the mezzanine floor. Relax in the intimate atmosphere of the Captain Cook Formica Bar and Disco. Sample our world-famous Jollof cocktail. Closed for renovations due to Rolling Stones tour. Hmm. Oh, funny. The doors aren't closing. Why aren't the doors closing?
You're leaning on the stop button. Oh,
sorry, it's just that I couldn't read it properly. See... It's just about virtually impossible to read when your finger's on it. Stupid design.
Well, take your finger off it.
Right, sorry. Well, here we go. Straight to the lobby after stopping at the mezzanine floor to wave to carpenters. I know you. I know who you are.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yes, everyone knows you. The whole world knows you. You're a superstar of stardom. Millions of fans all over the international world, and I'm your number one fan.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Wait till I tell the blokes that I actually shared a lift with what's your name?
Linda.
Linda Newton-John, of course. How could I be so stupid?
Sheridan
Newton-John. I'm sorry. You must think I'm a terrible...
It's Linda Sheridan.
Sorry. It's so embarrassing. Linda Sheridan. How could I ever forget Linda Sheridan? You sure?
Yes.
Oh, so if you're Linda Sheridan...
I am.
That little funny thing must be your famous dog, Tinsel.
Tinsel's dead.
Oh, poor thing. Shouldn't you bury it?
This isn't Tinsel. Tinsel died 6 months ago.
Oh, of course. I saw it happen. The whole world saw it happen. Tinsel died live by satellite the night you won your Academy Award.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you must have felt awful in the middle of your speech and then suddenly, whack, you dropped the Oscar on his head.
Please, look, I don't want to talk about it.
Still, it proves they're made of solid gold, doesn't it? And you must have felt a lot better when Bob Hope rushed on stage. Wonderful guy. You wouldn't think anyone could get such a big laugh out of a squashed dog. The music stopped.
So's the lift.
The lift runs on music? Oh, of course, it's an American hotel. They all run on music. Don't worry. There's nothing to panic about. Everything's under
control. It's jammed.
We're going to die.
Oh, we are not.
We are jammed to death by a rogue Otis.
We are not going to die.
We are.
We're not. My contract won't allow me to die until I finish the remake of Flower Drum Song.
What about me? I don't have a contract. And I haven't played the drum since my father put his foot through it at 4 o'clock on Christmas morning. I only had two hits. Didn't stick his foot through my sister's gollywog, did he? No. And he didn't hit my sister's pet budgie with a hammer, did he? No. But the moment I came home with my pet, Dad's hammer flashes and clunk. Goodbye, Toby. Best snake a boy ever had. Followed me home from school. Well, more chased than followed. A race to the death. He got a bit stroppy when Donga Jackson tried to inflate him with a bike pump full of plaster of Paris.
Will you stop babbling and do something useful?
What?
Shut up.
Sorry. Well, here we are.
Why don't you try pressing some buttons?
Good thinking. Yeah, keep active. Keep morale high. Think positive. Do not become mentally depressed. Remember, Coastal Command has already started a search pattern.
What are you talking about?
Page 5 of the Sea Scout Survival Manual. It was actually Biggles Wins the War, with a scout badge stamped over the picture of Churchill saluting at Biggles after he'd presented Hitler's moustache to the king.
Oh.
Good old Biggles, a real man's man. Of course, now some smart-ass Yank psychologist reckons he was more of a man's man than we thought. Reckons he was a poof. But I doubt it. No. I mean, all pilots in those days had to wear leather. And the lipstick stopped the windburn. I think.
Well, are you going to do it?
What?
Press the buttons.
Yes, right. Do you want to do it?
No.
Okay. No. Car park 1. Car park 2. Car park... Did you know that car park backwards is crap rack?
Yes.
Oh. I thought I was the only one who... How long have you known?
Just get on with it.
Oh, right. No. Hold on. This one's working. The doors are opening. Hooray, look at that. Brick wall. The swine, they've pricked us in.
What? A rat.
Where?
There.
It's a rat.
Oh, close the doors.
Oh, closing. Damn.
Oh, hurry, it's moving.
Chuck something at it.
What?
The dog.
No.
Shut up. Oh, bloody door. Shut up. Shut up.
Shh, quiet, darling, it's all right.
Bloody dog. Shut up.
It's all right, Errol.
Errol?
Oh, well, that was awful. Did you see the size of that rat? As big as a fox terrier.
Maybe it was a fox terrier.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. What's a fox terrier doing 12 floors up in a lift well?
Looking for a way out, I suppose. I don't know. Just a minute. Listen.
What?
Nothing. It's the alarm bell not working. Boy, the Rolling Stones certainly did a job on this joint. Even the alarm bell. Probably smoked it.
It'll be ringing in the manager's office.
No, he won't do anything about it. He'll think it's someone ringing for room service.
Well, use the emergency telephone.
What emergency telephone?
The one behind the little door marked telephone, emergency use only.
I knew that.
Well, open it.
All right. Hey, just a minute. There's a note here. I owe you one telephone, signed Mick Jagger. Oh, well, that's it, isn't it? Doomed. Rolling Stone to death.
Well, stop this nonsense. We're not going to die.
We are.
We're not. I can't die. I'm a star.
I'm not.
Well, you die then.
Don't want to. I'm hungry. We could always eat the dog. Shut up. What are you doing here?
I'm stuck in a lift with you.
Oh, no. I mean, in Australia. What are you doing in Australia? Did your mum die?
No.
Oh. Did your father die?
No.
Your grandma?
No.
Your budgie?
No.
Your very best friend from school, who was your bridesmaid 4 times but died so tragically from an overdose of acupuncture?
No.
What? Nobody's died?
No.
Well, why'd you come back to Australia?
I came back to make a picture.
Wow. What's it about?
It's a musical about Dame Nellie Melba's triumphant return to Australia.
What's it called?
Nellie Goes Under.
Who do you play in it?
The lead.
Oh, of course. Who's that?
Nellie Melba.
Oh, silly me, of course. Yes. I suppose you had to use a stunt swimmer for the bits where she won all the medals at the Rome Olympics.
That was Dawn Fraser. Nellie Melba was a singer. Some even say that she was the greatest singer of all time.
Oh, that Dame Nellie Melba. The one they named a peach after.
Yes.
Ah, what a boring idea for a picture. Who's in it?
I am.
Oh, well, never mind.
Look, are you having me on?
Just a little bit.
Well, why, for God's sake?
Well, we haven't got anything else to do. I saw you in that picture with Paul Newman, you know. You know, the one about Hitler and Eva Braun's zany home life?
Fuhrer knows best.
That's the one. Your acting was fabulous. A really moving and enriching experience. Were you really naked?
When?
When you had no clothes on. You know, the bit where you leapt out of the strudel at Hitler's Surprise We Lost the War party.
No, I wasn't. I don't do naked scenes. Unless, of course, it's essential to the plot and it's done artistically. And naked strudel leaping is not my idea of art.
No, I suppose not. But how come you looked naked?
It was a stand-in, an exotic dancer from Canada.
You mean they were only stunt norks? And the Oscar really belongs to a stripper from Saskatoon?
It does not. There is more to acting than just tits and ass, as they say.
You reckon?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about acting, but I know what I like. Can I have your autograph?
All right.
Got a piece of paper?
Oh, yeah, somewhere.
Oh, good. Terrific. Got a pen?
No.
Oh, well, I suppose you'll have to use mine. Careful of the nib, butt. because it's a real fountain pen. See, it leaks and everything. But you have to shake it to get the ink going. And oh, oh, sorry, Errol. Never mind. Soak him in BioAd or change his name to Spot. Sorry.
Will you stop blotting the dog and give me the pen?
Sorry.
Now, who do I write it to?
Me, please.
What's your name?
Digby. Digby Creek. You know, as in without a paddle.
Pardon?
You know, Creek, up the well-known. You know the famous, the proverbial without the paddle. It's a joke.
I don't get it.
Usually people laugh when I say that.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Good. So, it's Digby Creek, as in Yarra.
Yes, but don't write the creek bit.
Don't write it.
No, because then it'll sound like I got it by mail order, like in the back of True Combat magazine, with the hunting knives and the ferret stunners that you send away for.
So I'll just make it to Digby.
Yeah, something like, to Dear Digby, comma, or dash if it's easier. I'll never forget the wonderful times we had together. Yours ever. Make that love, Linda Newton John Sheridan. Sorry.
And that's all you want?
Oh, you could put on a P.S. Yes, it's true. We did get stuck in a lift together, and I really have met him. And initial that bit.
Mm. Could you... My hands are a bit full.
I'll hold the dog. Under my foot.
Quiet, Errol. Just put him down. He'll be all right.
Yeah, Errol, just put me down. I'll be all right. Shut up.
Right, there you go.
Ah, thank you. But this only says to Digby regards Lynn Blott.
Oh, your nib broke. I'm sorry.
Broke? It can't break. It's plastic. It's a Luna Park pen.
I'm sorry.
See, it says down the side. Souvenir of Luna Park. Made by Mitsubishi Pet Food and Novelty Corp. Non-edible products division. Do not eat. Non-stick Teflon nib.
I said I'm sorry.
I had to shove $40 worth of ping pong balls down a clown's throat to get that pen.
You spent $40 just to win that?
Well, I didn't win it. They gave it to me because the bloke wanted to close up and go home.
Perhaps it's just a little thing. Perhaps it's just jammed a little bit. If we both jump up and down, it might free it.
I saw that in a picture once. Lee Marvin and Deborah Carr were stuck in a lift with Walter Brennan and Fabian, who had a time bomb concealed in his head. Deborah played a nun with tin legs, and she...
What?
She was a nun with tin legs. A shark got her at Lourdes. Anyway, Lee Marvin was a two-fisted, whiskey-swilling, foul-mouthed cattle baron who found oil under his horse, so he bought a Stutz Bearcat and left June Allison pregnant in a tent.
What?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they were all stuck in the lift, and Fabian's head was ticking, so things were getting a bit tense. But Deborah talked to Lee Marvin and convinced him about God and everything. So before they jumped up and down to free the lift, they all got down on their knees, except Deborah, of course, and prayed for deliverance. But the bottom of the lift fell out and they all hurtled to their deaths. So I don't think it's a very good idea.
It's bloody Dwayne.
What?
Dwayne, of course. Bloody Dwayne. I should have realized. This whole thing smells like him.
You've got a smelly Dwayne?
Dwayne Sheckled Jr. III, my little faggot of a manager. He takes 20% of my earnings and 50% of my cosmetics. I bet he's organized all this. I told the little pervert, one more crazy publicity stunt and you go back to doing Judy Garland impressions at the Beverly Hills YMCA.
Why does he do Judy Garland impressions at the YMCA?
He used to do Peter Allen, but his voice broke.
Oh.
Besides, they won't let him do anything else. I'll kill him. I should choke him to death with his memoriam pendant. Do you know what he did? He went to a Hollywood studio auction and paid $7,000 for one of Judy Garland's old sleeping pills with blood on it.
Oh, a cup of Milo's cheaper,
I mean. Then he had the trolley song micro-engraved on the back of it and the whole thing set in a disturbingly vulgar gold pendant depicting an ambulance going down the yellow brick road.
So it's all true, then?
What?
What I've read about all the Hollywood lot in True Star Worship.
I thought you read True Combat.
Oh, I do. I read all the True magazines because they don't sell. That's where I read about you, in the dump.
Pardon?
The Bundanoon dump. Well, everybody knows about the Bundanoon dump, you know. That's where you get free True magazines.
I don't understand.
Well, you know Cess and Reg Parker.
No.
Well, they're both the newsagent in Bundanoon and they can't sell True magazines for the price of a wombat's knee. So they have to rip the front covers off and chuck them on the dump.
Oh, and that's where you get them?
If I'm quick. Because the whole town knows they dump them, and that's why they don't buy them. That's why Cess and Reg can't sell them. So they lurk behind the old Kero fridges and Fergie tyres every Sunday morning. Get it?
No. Why do Cess and Reg hide in fridges?
They don't. They drive the ute.
What ute?
The red PMG ute, the one they found lost next to the Bundanoon phone box.
Oh.
They drive it out to the dump. The town's in the green Kelvinator. They all wait for Cess and Reg to come jolting through the flies to chuck out the magazine so they can grab them, see? And that's how I got True Combat and True Torture and true anger, and, of course, true star worship. So it's really true.
What?
That they're all funny in Hollywood.
Funny?
You know, weird. Wear funny clothes. Have enormous pink houses with heart-shaped dunnies. Do you have a heart-shaped dunny?
No.
Heart-shaped washing machine?
No.
I thought you were a real star.
I am, according to the soon-to-be late and recently unemployed Dwayne Sheckle Jr. III.
Don't you like him?
I love him like I love a weeping wart.
Oh, so they don't have heart-shaped things?
Oh, yes, they got them all right. Heart-shaped lawnmowers, heart-shaped billiard tables, heart-shaped water skis, heart-shaped everything. The only thing that isn't heart-shaped is their hearts. Ice comes in blocks, you know. Do you have a cigarette?
No.
God, I wish this lift had started. You could take your foot off Errol now. He's asleep.
Sorry. Shut up.
Errol, be quiet or I'll put you in my handbag. Shut up, Errol. God, I hate dogs.
I thought you liked dogs. What about, you know, Tinsel, R.I.P.?
Oh, that was Dwayne's idea of a trademark. So now I have to carry a dog everywhere, thus snotty little Errol.
Why do you call him Errol?
Dwayne named him after a sumo wrestler he met in a bar in Tokyo. Little faggot.
Oh. How'd you get him through quarantine?
In Australia, they don't put poofs in quarantine. They put them on the stage.
Yes. Oh, well, I suppose you're right. Go on, tell me about, you know, Hollywood and all the stars and stuff. You know, how did you become a star? You know, how did you learn to be one? Did you learn acting and stuff like that?
Oh, no, I didn't study acting. I did it the Australian way.
Oh, what's that?
I water skied on Bandstand with Cole Joy. Then I learned to point and became a weather girl. And before I knew it, I had my own National Seedle commercial where, of course, my pointing skills came in real handy.
I saw that commercial. That was where you were the Seedle fairy making dull, tired hair sparkle with your shatterproof hairspray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful. You must have a good memory. That was on 15 years ago, thank God.
It was on last night.
What?
Didn't you know? Oh, it was a real coincidence. 10 minutes after you won that Oscar, up pops the old commercial. Hadn't seen it for years.
Oh, God.
Yep, there you were skipping around underneath your Connie Francis beehive and your Brenda Lee flatties.
Oh, God.
Still in black and white, except for the orange sign that kept flashing on Seedle Fairy wins Oscar. Buy some.
Oh, isn't that sweet of them to remember me? So often, and in prime time.
Even in Bundanoon.
Even in Bundanoon, wherever it is. Just a minute.
What? What?
Sess and Bert with the ute in the dump.
Reg.
Reg and Bert.
Sess and Reg.
Oh, whoever. You said they were both the newsagent.
Yeah. So? They are the newsagent. Well, not strictly true. They used to be the newsagent, and in fact still are. But now they're the newsagents with an S. You know, plural. More than one with an S.
But
I bet you're confused, eh?
Just a little bit.
Everyone is, or used to be. But they're not anymore because I forgot to tell you the tricky bit.
All right, I give up. What's the tricky bit?
Sess and Reg are a Siamese nose.
Oh, you're crazy.
It's true. They were Siamese twins joined at the nose. They're famous. True Deformities ran a cover story on them. That's why they keep stocking True magazines. But nobody buys them anymore because you can't get them, you know,
I know
free.
The story about the dumb. The dumb. Well, tell me about Sess and Reg.
No, it's boring. Everyone's heard it.
I haven't.
No, I want to hear about Hollywood and all the...
Oh, Hollywood's drab compared to Bonnie Doon.
Bundanoon.
Well, wherever. Tell me about Sess and Reg and their mutual nose.
Well, what's to tell? They were born with their noses joined together, grew up to be farmers, but had to chuck it in because they kept falling off the seat of the Fergie. So they became the newsagent. And then, when they turned 35, they had the operation and became the newsagents. Plural. Two of them, you see.
Why did they have to wait till they were 35?
Well, the Women's Weekly had them under contract and they wouldn't cough up for the operation.
Well, how'd they get it done?
Oh, the whole town pitched in. Madge Burrows baked one of her famous industrial pikelets to raffle in the pub, but it turned green before we'd sold any tickets. So we did what every country town does when it needs some money in a hurry.
What?
Brought the annual bushfire forward.
You didn't purposely start a bushfire, did you?
Never. But it doesn't take much in the bush, you know. I mean, one careless match in the local Caltex depot at midnight and suddenly, whack, a national telethon and some government money.
That's extortion. How much did the operation cost?
Nothing. The vet did it with his Stanley knife. But all's well that ends well, as they say. It's an ill wind without a silver lining. So the Bundanoon Historical Society used the money to set up a colonial trampoline centre and Namco Museum. The biggest in the southern hemisphere without lions. So there's really nothing to it. Now, come on, it's your turn. You've got to tell me all about those strange people in Hollywood.
Oh, what's to tell?
Well, you know how they have nude orgies and drink things with whips in them and smirk around town and marry each other lots of times and sniff cocaine and shoot up on Araldite. Do they really do all that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
I don't, though.
Oh, why not?
Duane does it for me. Now tell me about Dunny Doo.
Bundanoon. What about it?
What is it?
Well, it's a pub with some houses around it. You know, a town. A proper town. The pub serves food and everything, and you're not allowed to wear gumboots in the ladies' lounge, but everyone does.
What do you do there?
Well, stand in front of the fire and drink.
No, I mean, what do you do in Bundathing?
Oh, nothing much. Do you mind if I sit down?
No.
My finger's beginning to hurt from leaning on the go button. Sorry, Errol, shut up. Cold. Jeez, this vinyl. Have you ever noticed how vinyl tiles are always 10 degrees below freezing?
Here, sit on my coat.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I mean, that's beautiful. How many rabbits did it take to make that?
None. It's mink.
Mink? I thought they were squirrely little things. This one must have been a buffalo mink.
Move over.
Oh, sorry. Right. Oh, I got my foot caught in the pocket.
It doesn't have a pocket.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. Can I pay to have it?
No, Errol did it. He chews it all the time. He thinks it's his mother.
Good old Errol. Wow, this is all warm and snuggly. I've never sat on fur before, except the cat. He kept falling down the dunny.
Oh.
What?
Oof. Your elbow, it was...
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah.
Comfortable?
Yes. Are you?
Yes, thank you. Linda? Well, yep, here we are.
Yes.
Sitting on your fur coat. Yep, both of us on your fur. You warm enough?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because if you weren't, I mean, I could put this, the coat around your, but you're not, are you? No, you're actually warm enough. So I hope we don't run out of air. We'd drown of carbon dioxide poisoning, the smothering thing, and they'd find us here on the coat, dead. Oh, gee, it's warm in here.
What did you say your name was?
Mm-hmm. Digby. Digby Creek. You know, as in, without a paddle. People always laugh when I say that, but it's, the easiest way for people to remember what my...
Well, what do you do?
Me? What do I do?
Well, who else is here?
Oh, of course, yes, no one.
Well, what do you do?
Oh, I'm Potter.
What, you're unemployed?
No, I'm a potter.
Oh, you mean you're a potter?
Yes, that's what I said.
Oh, I thought you meant you potter about, you know, do nothing, stand in front of fires and drink.
Oh, I do that too?
Yes, I know.
Good.
I've never met a potter before. What, you just sort of pot things?
Yes.
Like cups?
Oh, no, I don't do cups. Not into cups.
Oh, I suppose that rules out saucers too.
I do sort of sculptures and things. Ceramic sculptures, I suppose you could call them.
Why?
Oh, well, the cups don't turn out real good.
Oh.
It's a joke.
Sorry.
I've been up for the exhibition opening. Yes, I'll show you. Here's one of my brochures.
Oh.
Keep it. I mean, you can have that. I just happen to have 750, so now it's 749 left over.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really stunning. And you did that?
No, that's the gallery letterbox. Mine are inside.
Oh. Oh, these are wonderful, but I don't know anything about pottery, really.
Thank you.
No, I mean, they look terrific, but is it regarded as good pottery?
Good? It's bloody genius.
Oh, sorry, it's a terrible photo of you. Looks like you were holding the camera with your foot.
I was.
This one with you working outside the stone house is much better.
Oh, Mad Jack took it.
Funny-looking dog.
It's a goat.
Oh. Who's Mad Jack?
He's the shadow in the foreground. He's an old timber cutter, the only other person who lives in the valley, actually. He goes to town once a month to change his pension check into sherry. He helped me build the house.
You built the whole house out of stone? What's it like?
Bloody heavy.
Looks like beautiful country.
Oh, it is. Mad Jack reckons God goes there for a smoko. That's why there's always a mist on the mountain. Anyway, that's what Mad Jack reckons, and we all know about Mad Jack.
What?
He's mad.
Oh.
What?
Oh, my foot's gone to sleep. It's all numb, pins and needles.
Here, I'll rub it. There. There?
Yes.
Better?
Ah, it must be beautiful living out there. You must hate coming into the city.
Oh, I do. I want to get back there.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, I forgot to lock the dunny door. The cat's most probably drowned. Bloody cat.
I'd love to be able to get away to a place like that.
Well, why don't you?
Yeah, I suppose I should buy something.
No, what I meant was, why don't you, No, I suppose that's a silly idea. Gee, it really is getting warm in here. What's, did you hear something?
No, did you?
No, I just thought that you may have heard...
Digby.
What?
You can stop rubbing my foot now.
Oh!
You've rubbed the nail polish off.
Sorry.
Are you, does your wife like living in Bundanoon?
I live by myself.
Oh, so there's no Mrs. Paddle then?
A creek, remember? Without the paddle.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, there is a Mrs. Creek.
Oh.
But we were both dentists, and it was screwing up the marriage, so I got a divorce and became a potter.
So you divorced without a wife?
Yeah. You?
No, I don't have a wife either.
What about Dwayne?
Well, he's anybody's wife.
Aren't you married? You married a bloke once, didn't you?
No, I didn't marry a bloke. I married an actor. He used to smile at himself all the time. You know, he could lift weights with his ego. He left me to have an eyelash transplant. His mother actually offered to be the donor, and he actually accepted.
I read about that in True Surgery. I'd never seen a lady with bald eyes before. Made her look like a raccoon. Mad Jack looks like that the morning after pension day.
Mad Jack sounds quite a character.
Yeah, he is. First time I carried him home, I discovered he had dentures made out of wood. Can you believe that?
How? Oh.
He showed them to me. He carved them himself out of a mallee root. I made him a real pair for helping me build the house, so he rushed into town, stood on the bar, and grinned at everyone. They all cheered when he ate an apple.
Really?
Yep. First apple he'd had in 30 years. Went straight through him like a rocket.
Digby?
Yeah?
Before, when you were rubbing my toenail polish off...
Sorry,
No, it doesn't matter. But when you were doing it, you were going to ask me something.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were. You were going to ask me something. What was it?
Well, No,
Go on.
Well, you were saying how you'd like to get away to a place mine, for instance. And I just thought that maybe you'd like to...
Oh, I'd love to.
See, I knew you wouldn't. I suppose I was just being silly in thinking that.
No, I'd love to come.
Really?
Yes.
What, you and my place? With me? Oh, no, you wouldn't want to. I mean, you're welcome if you really want to.
I want to.
Really? Why?
Well... For a start, I've never seen where God has a smoko before, and I'd like... Well, I like you.
I'm blushing, aren't I? I can feel it. I'm blushing.
Yes, you are. A little bit. A lot.
Sorry. You'd really love the place. I mean, if you do come.
I will come.
I'll make sure that Mad Jack has a bath, and you have to watch the dunny because the cat...
Yeah, you told me.
There's nothing to do there, you know.
I know. It sounds wonderful. When can we go?
Well, now. So I'm on my way. I was leaving this morning. Well, I was. But now I'm not, because I'm stuck in a lift, as you're probably aware. You're not joking. I mean, you really do want to come.
I do.
Wow. Huh,
you've stopped blushing.
Sorry.
Oh, sounds like heaven. There's just one thing.
You've changed your mind.
No. It's just that if we get out of this lift, there's going to be a lot of press and Dwayne around, all shouting and things, and I can't just walk away. I'll have to tell them something.
Sure, yes.
But that won't take long. Oh, and I did promise Dwayne I'd do some pictures for the TV magazine.
Sure.
But that'll only take a few minutes, but it could take longer, so maybe you should go on ahead and I'll organise to get myself down there.
Oh. I'll draw you a map.
Should I buy some gumboots?
Only if you want a drink in the ladies' lounge.
Mad Jack's Dentist was written by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. You heard Graham Kennedy, Wendy Hughes, and Ross Higgins. Sound effects by Steve Collins. Recorded and engineered by Michael Byrne. Produced by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. Executive producer, Julianne Ford. Graham Kennedy's RS Playhouse is an RS production for the ABC.